Thank you, guys. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team, for that lovely, lovely time of worship. We bless the Lord for your lives. Thank you very much. And once again, I just want to greet you all in the name of the Lord. Just want to greet all of you who are online, who are watching with us as well. We thank you for your presence. Greetings from Pastor Aisha. Just want to say, just before I get into the word, just want to say that Pastor Aisha has conveyed a greetings to you. Obviously, she's not able to make it today, but she's on a break until September. She'll be back in September with us. She still is our senior pastor, as it stands, of our Greenwich, Croydon, and New Streams Fellowship, and there are measures that were taken even a year before Pastor Joe got ill concerning how things are going to go forward. And so do not fret. Things are in place. The structure is in place. And once Pastor Aisha comes back, we will move forward. The vision still remains the same. The focus still remains the same. Amen. Today, I wanted to talk about finishing well. Finishing our journey well as Christians. Finishing our journey well as children of God. Finishing our journey well as people who are kingdom-minded. You see, the Bible tells us in Romans 14:8, if we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. I just want to encourage us. Nothing takes God by surprise. Do you know that in God's vocabulary, there's no word crisis? God is never caught in a crisis. And in some actually Asian languages, there is no word for crisis. They've replaced the word crisis with opportunity in some of the Asian languages. So whenever something dramatic happens to them, they don't say, oh, we're in a crisis. No, they say, we have an opportunity here. I'm going to repeat this again. God is never caught up in a crisis. We may see chaos because we are bound in time. We may see confusion. We may see tragic, but God is never caught in a crisis. He's never. Things are never abrupt with God. They are never. And so we need to be encouraged that God is in control. God is in control. God knows everything. Even the trials that we go through, God has already timed some of them. In fact, He has timed all of them. Listen to Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. It says, do not fear any of these things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation. For how many days? 10 days. Even that tribulation has got a timer. Even that tough situation has got a timer. And if you understand this, you will finish well. Every situation that we are facing today has got a timer. Crisis always brings development. Crisis always brings a new chapter in life. You see, somebody came to me, one of our members came to me and told me that, you know, David Bishop, wonderful member of ours, Bishop, has passed away. So you, David, you have to step up. You have to step up in your prayer. You have to step up in your word life. You have to step up in how you encourage people. You have to step up in your follow-up. You, David, you have to step up. And he was absolutely correct. I have to step up. I told you, but you also, you have to step up. You, the member of the church, you have to step up. No more coming to church one day, we don't see you another day. No more coming to church late. No more debunking cell, or you don't plug into cell, we don't see you one day. You also have to step up. We all have to step up. It's a tough situation, but God tells us that we should not fret. The constant is God. God says in Ecclesiastes, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near, when you say, I have no pleasure in them. I was wondering why God is telling the young people or the youth to remember him. How many people have got regrets in life? Let's see. You guys are going to regret in life. I've got a regret in life. One regret that I've got in life is that I never knew the Lord when I was younger. He says, remember the Lord in your youth. God wants you guys, the young ones, and everybody to remember him in your youth. So that when you start early, by the time you reach your mid-years, you know a lot of God. And you can move forward with the Lord. I am talking about completing and finishing well, especially in the midst of crisis. You see, God is never concerned about your age. Let me qualify my statement. God is never concerned about your age. God, in his word, I never see him asking people, how old are you? I don't. He came to Jeremiah and he told Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 5 to 6, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you and ordained you a prophet to the nations. Listen to what Jeremiah says. Jeremiah says, then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. Or rather, Jeremiah says, God, what about my age? God didn't even answer his issue about his age. I'm going to repeat it again. God will not ask you about your age. God will ask you, what did you do? I used to work in a nursing home years and years ago. And there was this elderly lady in this nursing home, and she used to tell me, she told me once, David, with a crackly voice, I am 98 years old. And she told me, David, I am 98 years old. I've done well with my life. And I said, yeah, you've done well with your life. 98 years, you've done really well with your life. But when I start telling about the Lord, she doesn't want to know about the Lord. God is not concerned about you living 98 years on this earth. God is more so concerned about what did you do during this 98 years that you lived here on earth. What did you do? What did you do? He said to Jeremiah, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. And if you read further on, you will see that he says, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Verse 10. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. He has already used Jeremiah. God has already used Jeremiah to build and to plant. He's already used Jeremiah to destroy kingdoms while he's still a young person. My friends, God is in control. God is in control of each and everything that is going on around us. Now, I want you guys to hear me correctly. Please hear my heart out. Nothing is permanent on this earth except God and his word. Nothing in this world is permanent except God and his word. Now hear me correctly, I say. Hear my heart out here. Now, When I was growing up in Kenya, there was this pastor, evangelist, great man of God. That was in the 80s, great, great man of God. This guy, I was not even saved, but I knew of him. I was not even saved, but sometimes I'll sit and listen to him. He used to be given prime time on television. Well known all over the country. And we used to say, I even used to hear this. I was a non-Christian, but I used to hear this. He used to rank men of God. And he said, Pastor so-and-so, he is the number one, huge church, mega church. And when he spoke the word, we were all glued to what he was saying, big time. That one day, this guy was driving from the eastern side of the nation. He had an accident. Unfortunately, he passed away. I want you to hear my heart. He passed away, unfortunately. See how the nation changed. Some people say, no, he cannot pass away. He's equivalent to God. Listen, hear my heart. We're going to stay here until he resurrects. He's too big a personality. He cannot die. Some people decided we're going to leave the church. We're going to go to another church altogether. We're going to look for somebody like him. Here's the problem. You're not looking at God, they're looking at man. Here's the problem. They're not looking at God, they're looking at a personality. I said nothing is permanent in this world except for God. Preacher men come, preacher men go. Jesus remains the constant. One man of God told me that. Joshua chapter 1, Moses, my servant, is now dead. What is David going to do? David was part of this, quote unquote, was part of this group of Israelites, and we are going to Canaan. God has told us we're going to Canaan. Powerful man of God is leading us. Powerful man of God has written mostly a third of the Bible. Powerful man of God, we've seen him single-handedly speak to Pharaoh. We've seen how the Red Sea has parted. Powerful man of God. He prays to God and there is fire during the night to keep us warm. And during the day, there's a cloud. But this man of God has passed away. What will David do? David said, okay, I'm now leaving. I'm going to look for another man of God to take me to Canaan. Listen. Hear my heart, please. Hear my heart. Nothing in this world is permanent. Only God is permanent. Please hear me correctly. You only move when God says move. You only leave when God says leave. I think Pastor Phil, in his previous preaching, and Pastor John said something very important. They say that if our theology is sound and we are anchored on Jesus Christ, this situation should not move us. This situation should not move us. Ecclesiastes says this, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the earth. To everything there is a season and to everything there is a purpose under the earth. In fact, that scripture is actually a promise to us. People don't realize it's a promise. So that when we are going through a difficult situation, we know that for in everything there is a season and a time for every, it's actually a promise. So whatever you are going through, as I said, nothing in this world is permanent. That situation, that crisis, that tough situation that you're going through, it's going to come to pass. The Bible says, and it came to pass. Let me tell you one thing. God deals with seasons. God deals with seasons. if we continue to read that particular chapter of Ecclesiastes, it says there's a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to sing and a time to give up. There are seasons. And here is the key to the Christian walk. I'm not saying I know everything about the Christian walk, but this is a very important key. If you know how to deal with seasons, you will be okay in your Christian walk. There'll be a season to mourn, then there'll be a season to dance. There'll be a season where you are sad, there'll be a season where you are happy. God deals with seasons. And the beauty of it is that because God deals with seasons, we can plan ahead of the season. Winter is coming. Winter is coming, isn't it? Whether we like it or not, winter is coming. But you find, like my wife, she's already buying the children clothes for winter during the summer. She knows that it's coming. And during the winter, she says, "Oh, David, I found these nice t-shirts for the young ones. Let me buy them now because summer is coming." If you're a Christian, you'll understand that there's going to be seasons. And if you know that there's going to be seasons, then you should be anchored in Jesus. Because there's going to be a season where we're going to be mourning. And there's going to be a season where we're going to be dancing. There's going to be a season where you're going to be sad. And there's going to be a season where there'll be no job. There's going to be a season where there's going to be a job. There's going to be a season where your faith is being challenged. There's going to be a season where you're firing at all cylinders. Things are happening. God deals with seasons. And if you are smart enough, you will know that I should remain constant. You know, when a season comes, depending on that season, all the chaff is blown away. When there's a hurricane, all the trees that were not rooted deep are actually taken off. And all the houses that foundations are not strong are taken off. And it looks very, very ugly. But you come back there after about 6 months. You see new houses and you see these trees that are strong and new trees that are springing up. Seasons are there to remove things that are not built in strong foundation. Remember the word that was given to us, the legacy of Pastor Joe? Legacy and foundation. Things are going to be well. You be anchored in God. Let me just say right now, again, I'm not a prophet of doom. There's going to be tough times. Jesus said in this world, there'll be tribulations and trials. And some of those tribulations are going to be that we're going to lose some of our dear people. It's part of it. I know when we talk about tribulations and trials in our mindset, we only think about maybe I don't have a job or maybe I don't have money or I don't have a wife or I don't have a husband. This is in our mind. But tribulations and trials is a huge thing. It encompasses so many things. But if you know how to deal with seasons, you are going to finish well. Things are going to be okay. Genesis chapter 8 verse 22. While the earth remains, seed time, harvest time, cold, heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. God deals with seasons. They are tough seasons. And they are easy seasons. But Jesus remains the constant. If anything, we should be pressing on to the Lord and pressing on to Jesus and pressing on to the things of God, because he is the only constant in every season that we are going to go through. Ladies and gentlemen, we are people who are seasonal. We as Christians, we are seasonal people. And we are going through different seasons. God has not collapsed out of his throne. He hasn't. Jesus is still the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. And we've got to realign our mindset and start thinking about God and thinking about Jesus. Psalms chapter 1. Let us read Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1 says this. Bear with me a minute, please. Psalms chapter 1, well-known chapter in our walk. Let's start. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. Keyword. Brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. You know that a tree, so long as the leaves of a tree are there, it shows that the tree is still alive. It says, the leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. He will be bringing fruit at different seasons. At some seasons, there'll be no fruit. Other seasons, there'll be fruit. Because he's learned to stand within the season. He's learned to anchor himself in the roots of the Word of God and in following Christ within the season. And some of these trees, if they could talk to us and tell us how things are during the hurricane is swaying them up and down and they're nearly falling. The season goes, then winter comes and it's cold, it's difficult. It goes. Summer comes. Sometimes even summer brings fire. Ravages all the trees around. It's still there. It's dug its roots down into the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, including I myself, preaching to myself. And I was preparing this. I said, this Word is also for me. I've got to dig myself into the roots of God and go through the seasons, the different seasons that God has given to us. God knew you long time ago. Way, way long time ago, God knew you. Psalms 139 verse 16. Oh yes, you shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God. You are breathtaking, body and soul. I am marvelously made and I worship you in adoration. What a creation. Talking about how he's marveling how God has created him. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made. Bit by bit, how I was sculptured from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life are prepared before I'd even lived one day. I usually watch videos of cars production and how cars are made. And different cars, and sometimes my wife, I know she's watching, she comes and finds me watching cars. I say, David, you're watching cars? I say, I'm watching cars. Something we learn about cars. Before that car is put into the room, into the showroom, they have tested it. They've taken it through mud. They've taken it through ice. They've put it under different conditions. They've put so much weight on it to know how much weight it can carry. They know the limits of this car. They even tell you how much the weight of this car is. They tell you what is the capacity of this car in its boot. They tell you everything, how fast it can go. They have already done every test on this car. And then it's put on the showroom. And so when you come into the showroom, you see this nice car and you buy it. But you don't know that it's already been tested by the owner so that it can do all these things. Do you know that God has already tested you, but you don't know? He's the one who created you. He knew that you can handle this situation way before you came. He knew that you can handle it. He's the creator. He already knew that you can go through the situations that you're going through. He knew it very well. He knew this day. He knew everything that you are going through. He knew where you're going to be. He'd already made the prototype of you way before conception. Then he brought you into this earth. But the funny thing is very many of us do not know that they can do all things. Through who? Who created? Very many people don't understand that. You are already created to go through these tough times. Brothers and sisters, we have to finish well. We cannot be derailed. Focus on the Lord. That is why one of the titles of the Lord is the Rock of Ages. The Rock of Ages is not a rock band. Not this rock band called Rock of Ages. Not that rock band. Not that one. You can laugh at my silly jokes as well. Isaiah chapter 26 verse 9. Trust in Adonai forever. For the Lord Adonai is a rock of ages. He is the rock of all ages and all seasons. He remains the rock. Trust in him. Trust in him. He is the anchor to everything. Finish well. Finish well. Finish well. Let us finish this race well. Let us finish this vision very well. Ezekiel chapter 34 verse 26. I will make them, and the places all around my hill are blessing, and I will cause showers to come down in their season. There shall be showers of blessings. When I read this scripture, I felt that this is a word for we the church. CLF Church, Granite Church. I will make them, and the places all around my hill are blessing. And I will cause showers to come down in their season, and there shall be showers of blessings. There are going to be blessings in their season. As I said, God is a seasonal God. And we as Christians, we are seasonal people. Finish well. Finish well. Let us finish well. Let us don't be distracted. Focus on the Lord. I know it is difficult, but focus on the Lord. It's a season, my friends. Every time, we've just finished the Olympics, every time there is the Olympics starts, very many times the press, the cameramen, and even us, people who are keen on the Olympics, we are always waiting for the finish line. What's happening at the finishing line? 100 meters dash. We're waiting for what's going to happen in the finish line so that we can write the story. So we can discuss. Did you see how he blasted the whole of the competition? We don't talk about much what happened at the start, the false starts. People false start and they are gone. At the finish line, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, or you have done well. Good and faithful servant. Let us finish well. Every or most of all biblical examples, everything that God put in place in the Bible, they finished, and they finished well. Even when there was situations. Let's start with God himself. Let's start with God himself. He created the earth. And in 6 days, he had finished. It says that a record of God's creation, Genesis 2:1-2, we read, so the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. And on the seventh day, God had finished his work. And you know that if you study your theology, between Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, something must have happened there. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, the earth became void. Darkness was the surface of the deep. What was happening in verse 2? God creates darkness? Where did this darkness come from? Theologians talk about how that's when the enemy fell on the earth. But something happened. God created, kept on, and he finished the work. He finished the work on the sixth day. He created man. And after that, the Bible talks about man. The Bible doesn't talk about any animals, per se. After the sixth day, it's all about man. Man, you and I. Amazing. And after God even finished his creation, man failed. Man failed. God wanted sons and daughters, but Adam failed. Did God give up? He didn't. He's so passionate about what he wants to complete that he brought a second Adam, Jesus Christ. And he had sons and daughters. How much more you and I? There is going to be seasons and crises. There is going to be times when we are going to be tired and moaning and grieving. It's going to be tough, but we've got to hang on in there. About Moses and Solomon in building of the tabernacle, Exodus 40:33. So Moses finished the work. It says he finished the work. I close with this. Jesus, you know, when Jesus said it is finished, that statement is so loaded. When Jesus said it is finished, seriously loaded. He finished raising the leaders that he wanted to raise. He was confined to a 500-square mile radius. He finished preaching the gospel in that area. He finished raising the leaders that he needed to raise. He finished dying on the cross. He finished it. So when he said it is finished, it wasn't just about death. It's about what he had finished. And because of what he had finished, we are benefiting until today. If you're married in the kingdom, it's because God finished it. If you have a job in the kingdom, it's because God finished it. The houses that you've got, it's because Jesus finished it. All the things that we have as Christians, that's why our communion says, remember in remembrance of me. We thank God for what he had finished. Brothers and sisters, today as I bring this word, I want to close and encourage us. Let us finish well. As there are going to be seasons, as I said, there are going to be seasons. That's for sure. Let us finish well. Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have kept the faith. Three things. He has fought the good fight. Make sure you're fighting the good fight. Make sure you're finishing this race. You may be finishing this race, but you're not fighting the good fight. Anything that comes, fight it. Discouragement, fight it. Obstacles, fight it. At the same time you're running. And saying that I have kept the faith. Do not deviate from your belief in God, from your trust in God, even in this situation where there's so many questions. Do not deviate. As you've been told, David, when his child died, he did not eat and he was praying. And he prayed and prayed that this child might live. Just like we were not eating. We were fasting and praying that Bishop might live. And when the child died, even his servants were afraid to come to him. They said when the child was alive, he could not eat. Now who's going to tell him that the child has died? He's going to kill us. And he looked around and he said, what are you guys discussing? Has the child died? Has the child has died? Okay. And he got up and started praising God and he went on with his life. Because he knew that he will go to the child. Come on, guys. It is about Jesus. I think the song that says Jesus is the answer for the world today. It is a powerful song. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. Look at Jesus, the author and the finisher, the author, the one who writes your faith, the author, the one who's writing it. your faith. It's not about the personality. The personality, yes, is very important. But it's about Jesus. Focus on the Lord, beloved. Focus on the Lord. I close. Let us stand. I want to pray. And I'll pass over. Father, we just want to thank you. We thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the grace that we have. We thank you, Father, for each and every one of us here. Father God, I pray for the ones, Lord, who may be deviating. I pray for the ones, Father, whose focus may be wrong. I pray, Lord, that you touch their hearts, touch their minds. Father God, Lord, that they may look and cling more to you. I pray for the ones who are going through different situations. We know that these are just seasons and they will come to pass. Father God, Lord, I pray that you keep them, that you bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. I feel, you may sit down, I feel led to pray for anyone who wants to give their life to Christ or anyone who wants to rededicate their lives to Christ. Two things. If you want to give your life to Christ, I'm going to kindly ask you to stand. Those of you who are watching at home, I will ask you to stand as well. And if you want to say, today I'm rededicating my life again to Christ, I'm renewing my vow to you, Lord, I want you to stand. Please stand. That is you, please stand. Father, I pray for these ones who have stood up. Father, I pray for them. I pray, Lord, that you keep them and that you anchor them in the faith. Father God, Lord, that you bring them back into the fold, Lord, and they, Lord, may start experiencing your touch, Lord, your voice, your vision, Lord, once again, in their hearts to be burning for you. Lord, I pray for anybody who wants to give their life to Christ today. I pray, Lord, that they will give their heart to you, that you will keep them as you've promised, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen.